his baptism by John, and after his temptation in the wilderness, and began his public ministry. Most of us are sufficiently familiar with the gospel accounts to know that Jesus became an itinerant preacher and teacher who attracted large crowds, performed many miracles, and appointed 12 disciples to be close to him. However, poor old John the Baptist had been put in prison because he had challenged Herod over his having taken his own brother's wife unlawfully. It is easy to imagine how doubt began to creep into John's mind. From the bold proclamation, "I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God," John finds himself doubting that he got it right. So, typical of his forthright character, he sends some of his own disciples to Jesus with a direct question. Matthew 11, 2-3. When John heard in prison that what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone?" John wants to know if Jesus really is the Christ, or whether they should look for someone else. John has a personal interest in this. The Messiah, the Christ, is expected to release captives from prison, and John is in prison. John's problem is this. Yes, Jesus is performing miracles, but there is no sign of the mighty judgment with Holy Spirit and fire, which John himself had promised and expected. And Jesus is not at all a holy man by Jewish standards. He doesn't appear to fast, and he keeps bad company. Jesus sends a message back to John. He quotes the words from the prophet Isaiah. There are signs of the Messiah's work in his ministry. The blind are seeing, the deaf hearing, the lame leaping, the dumb shouting. Jesus is using the words we heard earlier in our first scripture reading this morning, from Isaiah chapter 35. And he goes on to point out that those with leprosy are being cured and even the dead have been raised. But best of all, the poor are hearing the good news that the kingdom of God is coming. Jesus is reminding John of Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the freedom of the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. I'm sure many of you will recognise these words from Luke's account of Jesus returning to Nazareth, his own town, where he read this prophecy in the synagogue and proclaimed, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Sadly, this resulted in him being chased out of town. Before sending John's disciples back with his reply, Jesus adds one further comment. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Note that Jesus does not criticize John for doubting, but rather holds out the promise of blessing for those who remain faithful. As John's disciples leave to take Jesus' reply to him in prison, Jesus pays tribute to John. Let me remind you of Matthew 11, verses 7 onwards. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. We don't know how John, still in prison, received Jesus's reply. And of course, we do know that not long afterwards, he was beheaded on Herod's orders. But I like to think that he was sustained by the assurances Jesus gave him concerning the validity and reliability of the scriptural prophecies. I believe that this is the lesson that we can draw from today's scripture readings. Our God is sovereign, and his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is Savior of the world. And the Holy Spirit is poured out upon his church, as we, his disciples, are faithful to his teaching. Jesus and John the Baptist were related by human family, but a much deeper relationship was forged when John got beyond his misgivings and accepted Jesus for baptism. This, in turn, enabled John to witness the fulfilling of God's revelation to him, that he would see the Holy Spirit descend, a fact to which he gave bold witness. And even in prison, when doubts were very understandable, John asked Jesus directly rather than simply give up and fall away. And it was a two-way relationship. Jesus respected John and revealed publicly that he was indeed the prophet Isaiah returned as predicted and expected by the Jewish people. We are, of course, still in the season of Advent, the ideal time to consider afresh our own relationship with the Lord. It may not be a case of needing to take note of John's strident call to repentance, but maybe we need to deal with a few doubts that have crept in. As John did, we should bring our questions to Jesus directly. Jesus will not reject us because we have doubts. Rather, he will assure us, probably through the scriptures, that he will never forsake us, that his love is constant, and that our destiny is to be with him. Amen.